Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, are you ready for some basketball?
I'm ready for some basketball. It's been a rough football season. It is time for the rest of the KU fandom to get on board with this university and this university sports program. It's basketball season. Exhibitions are over. Preseason is done. We have our first real game, not a pushover, coming up in a couple days against Indiana. This is going to be pretty big.
Yeah, this isn't the Longwood start. This isn't the, you know, the North Dakota Southern State. This is Indiana, man. We got Blue Bloods to start the year. Indiana and Duke, we are going to talk about both of those games later on. Andrew, we're also going to give our 2016-2017 KU basketball preview. That's right. The preview to the preview has already been done. Now it's time for the actual preview.
And in that, we're going to do some over-unders, maybe some bold predictions, kind of just some general thoughts about what's going to happen this season. I think we'll go through game by game later on in a different episode, but this is just going to be a general thought process of, you know, is this going to be a good year? Is this going to be a different kind of year? I think it'll be pretty good.
I do too. So dust off all of those KU basketball superstitions, you know, pull out your Drake horns, polish your KU basketball Twitter game. I know we are. Let's get right to it, Andrew. I want to talk about, well, hang on, one more thing. We are going to talk about KU football, but we're literally going to do it for 1 minute. We actually have a timer. We have a timer. It's going to be 1 minute of KU football talk. It's going to be at the end. So stick with it. Bear with us. We'll talk KU football, but it's going to be a little while. All right. So,
you know, Kevin, our Super Bowl is coming up on Saturday.
It's true. It is true.
Our Super Bowl.
It's true.
Our Super Bowl is not K-State. Our Super Bowl this year
is Iowa State.
Yeah. Right.
We'll get there. Okay. You're carving into our 1 minute. Now we only have 38 seconds. All right. So let's talk about, Andrew, we're gonna get into the preview here. The rotation is the first thing I want to touch on. Okay. So we thought all along that Perry Ellis graduating would mean that Carlton Bragg would just immediately step into that role and boom, we've got our four-man stretch four, decent rebounder, you know, get six or seven boards a game, just like Perry did. It's going to be great. That hasn't happened so far. And in fact, we've seen LeGerald Vick even start in the second exhibition game. So, Andrew, what do you think of this potential starting lineup shakeup?
Carlton Bragg is going to start.
Okay.
I think Bill Self is going to toy with having four guards out there in specific times. But I think that Vic starting the game against Emporia was just kind of a testing out type of thing. I doubt that Bill Self ever starts four guards. Now, whether Bill Self plays four guards, you know, at different times throughout the games, you know, in the season, that's a different story. But I think Carlton Bragg, barring injury, will start every game this season.
Oh, wow. Okay. Bold prediction. I think you're right that he is going to start. I think Bill loves his two big men lineups just a little too much. But he did,
you know,
say
if after anybody, Bill Self is going to play two big guys.
Right, right.
And he has played the same way for 30 years. You know, he had some little Hoiberg influences, you know, last year a little bit. And I think that'll come back this year, too. But, you know, it's going to be a traditional Kansas team.
Well, I don't know about that because, Andrew, it's not a traditional Kansas team in the fact that we probably have one of, if not the best backcourts in the nation. And our front court is, which is not a normal KU basketball team. So I think they're going to have to figure out a way to play to strengths. You know, potentially Carlton is a strength, though. So we will see. Bill Self actually says, I think he called him, you know, he's in a funk. I think the last game he had like 2 points and five turnovers, so and five fouls. So not great against an Emporia State team, but
yeah, let's get the funk out of the way early.
I agree.
This is a good time to have a funk.
It's a great time.
Get it out of the way. Right.
Let's get that funk out of there before Indiana and Duke, please. Okay. So we will see on the starting lineup. I do think you're right. Bragg will eventually be the guy. But in this games, these games coming up, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but Indiana and Duke both play wings at the four position. So it's not like Bragg, you know, is going to be going to guard some big four man. You know, maybe it makes more sense to play the four guard lineup in a couple of these games coming up. So maybe it was a little bit of a preview to that. What about the rotation, Andrew? We've talked about that we've got most depth in the backcourt with Frank and Graham and Josh Jackson and Sfi and LeGerald Vick. Not as much in the front court. What do you think about the rotation there?
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of the guards. And I don't know how these minutes are going to get split up. I think Josh Jackson is going to play a lot of minutes. You know, our other two guards, Frank Mason and Devonta Graham, are going to play a lot of minutes. It's tough to when you start thinking about it. You know, how is that pie going to be split up? And then you throw in LeGerald Vick. You know, people are saying he's, you know, coming along, one of the most underrated players, going to get his time to shine this year. I just don't know how it's going to get split up. You know, I think it's easier for the big guys. I think Bragg is going to get his minutes. Landa's going to get his minutes. And Azubuike, I think, is going to get thrown out there and get a lot of minutes. But, you know, at this point, I think it's going to take the first 10 games in the preseason or in the non-conference to kind of get a feel for how this is going to go. And I think these are all what you would call rich people problems, where you have too many good guys for too little minutes. You know, maybe we think we should have a couple spots at the four and five to get things shored up. But overall, this is a very deep team, both on the perimeter and down low. So, I mean, I just don't know. I think that, you know,
I don't know, man. I don't think Dwight Colby and Mitch Lightfoot are quote depth. I just don't. I just don't think it's,
but they don't
it's
have
a deep
to be.
Team
I mean,
in the front court.
They're four and five on the depth chart.
I agree.
In terms of big guys. So, I mean, if they need to come in a little bit and relieve some of these guys, that's fine. But it's not like you're going to be relying on Mitch Lightfoot to play 20 minutes a game.
Well, that's good.
He's probably going to play five.
Maybe. I might take the under on that.
Well, and Dwight Colby, what, eight?
I might take the under on that, too. I think they're going to play three big men and then go small to cut out the rest of the minutes, in my opinion. Because I just don't trust those two guys. Maybe Colby gets healthier. I know he's coming back from injury, and I think Lightfoot may be at least a year away just to play real basketball. But who knows? I could be very wrong there. We shall certainly see. Andrew, speaking of the new guys, I'd like to play a little segment here. It's called Welcome to Kansas.
Welcome
to Kansas. And this is actually a segment that my wife suggested. I over dinner, I was like, we're going to have a podcast tonight. She's like, really? And I was like, yeah, we haven't done one in a while. We're going to do a podcast. And what segment would you like to hear the most? And she doesn't really listen to the podcast, so it doesn't matter. But she's like, tell me about the new players. And I think that's fair. I think there's some folks out there, you know, most of you listen to the podcast probably know all this stuff already. You don't really need this. But there might be a few that are like, tell me more about these new guys. So that's what we're going to do. Josh Jackson, welcome to Kansas. Let me give you a little fun facts about Josh Jackson. His mom's name is Apples. Probably my favorite
Great
part
name.
About it. Apples
Great
Jones.
Name.
So a cool little story. I think this was on KUSports.com, if I remember right. He played for a team out in Napa, and it was one of those kind of basketball factory teams, whatever they're called. You know what I mean? But, you know, he had transferred in from Detroit. He landed in Napa the day that Napa had that like big earthquake, right? And like they lost all this wine. It's a terrible deal. But I see you're drinking some
terrible,
wine, by the way.
Terrible,
terrible deal. But anyway, he gets off the plane and the coach is there, and the coach says, hey, you know, we just had this terrible earthquake, but, you know, what's going on? What do you want to do? And he's like, well, where's the rest of the team? And he's like, well, they're actually out, you know, kind of volunteering. He's like, give me a hard hat. I'm ready to go. And like the first thing he did when he got to Napa was like go help people like clean up their houses and stuff. So a really cool story about the kind of character that Josh Jackson has. He's not your typical, you know, like, I'm better than you, number one recruit. Kind of like last year's number one recruit. Don't know if you've watched any of that Ben Simmons stuff on Showtime, Andrew. You've heard about this?
I haven't watched it. Oh my Everyone's gosh. Talking about it. Is yeah. it? Give me the gist. What's going on with this?
Oh, he just...
Oh, I heard he hated LSU.
Yeah, and hated NCAA basketball and just, you know, felt used and didn't want to practice when he wanted to and didn't want to, when he was mad that people were making him lift weights when he was told to. Just like total prima donna nonsense. Anyway, whatever. Josh Jackson does not seem like that kind of guy. So anyway, another cool little story about Josh Jackson. When he was at that high school, during football games, he actually would dress up as the mascot and just like parade around and give everyone high fives and stuff. He's just a kid, a big goofy kid. So really excited for him. He's also an excellent basketball player, as it turns out, as well. So looking forward to Josh Jackson. Do you have something for somebody else on our team?
Well, I didn't do as much research as you did, but I've got a couple little fun facts about my guys.
Okay.
I'm going to do Mitch Lightfoot.
Okay, what do you got?
He is the next big, goofy-looking white guy in a long line of – a long history of big, goofy-looking white guys from KU.
Sure.
Mitch is from Arizona, from Gilbert, Phoenix area, and originally committed to New Mexico. He was originally going to be a Lobo. But has since decided to become a Jayhawk. And the Sporting News, a very legitimate news source. And
sure.
Great, great journalist there. I read it all the time. But anyway, the Sporting News declared Mitch Lightfoot as the next crazier Sam Decker. And of course, Sam Decker is the last big goofy white guy from,
sure.
from Wisconsin, other than Frank Kaminsky. They were in the same class when they left Wisconsin. But Sam Decker now plays in the NBA. So I hope that Mitch Lightfoot has this illustrious career and becomes a crazier Sam Decker. And I didn't actually read the article.
That's fine.
But the headline said crazier Sam Decker.
That's all you need to know.
I
don't know.
I hope it's not like crazy on the court. Like he's like a better Sam Decker. I hope it's crazier, like crazier.
Yeah. I like that.
Like he's got
a little like, streak of crazy in him.
Like, not even on the basketball court, like off the basketball court. He's right. got like that crazy. I hope those stories start to come out.
Me too. Could not agree more. Okay. Do you want to, let's snake format this. Who else do you got?
Okay. I've got Dwight Colby. His Twitter name I liked. It was Daddy Smooth 22.
That is nice.
Yeah. He's 22 like Andrew Wiggins, but he's not Andrew Wiggins. So anyway, at Daddy Smooth 22, he's from the Bahamas. He's from Nassau.
Sure.
I don't know if I know any other Bahamian
yeah.
basketball players. I think there that's if there's a national team, maybe he gets to play on it. I don't know.
Very cool. Okay.
But anyway, he's a transfer from Ole Miss.
Correct.
Anything but he'll else? Get to play this to year. Yeah, he'll get to play this year. He transferred last year, sat out last year, but also during his redshirt year, he broke his leg or tore his ACL. And so he wouldn't got to play anyway. But anyway, he's back. I don't know if he's full strength yet. He's playing. He's playing, but he's not like quite there. We'll see his progression throughout the season, but we'll get a couple of years of him. Everyone's saying he's like a Darnell Jackson type, like a Jamari Traylor type. Look for him to come in, muscle people around, and get some rebounds.
We will That's see. Very good. Okay, I'll come back in here with some Udoka Azubuki. He is from, I don't know, I don't think you say it Lagos, Nigeria, but I want to say Lagos because it's cooler, because I really like Lagos. But he's from Nigeria.
Yeah, I'm not going to correct you.
That's okay. Lagos, Nigeria? Anyway, he's from Nigeria. He is the son of Florence and Ibian Azunwu Azubuki. I'm sure I got that right. Youngest of five. My favorite part in researching Udoka was Josh Jackson said of Udoka, he's really hard to guard. Huge guy. Probably the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. So I really like
You know
that.
What? Josh Jackson's seen a lot of guys in his life.
Yes. And
this guy's
the
biggest.
He's the biggest one. And Andrew, you want to feel old. Udoka was actually born in September of 1999. Yeah, the next round of players coming to KU are going to be born in the 2000s.
Oh, my God.
What were you doing in September 1999, Andrew?
I was just starting high school, and I believe I couldn't drive yet, but I went to Target, maybe, to buy the new Nine Inch Nails double album. I remember that was a big month for a Nine Inch Nails release.
Awesome.
That's the only thing I remember from September 1999.
I'm looking it up right now. Hit song in September 1999. This would be Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
Genie in a Bottle.
Genie in a Bottle. That was a big song. That was a big song. I remember that music
video. That song came out when he was born.
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hit me with the next one.
Okay. Well, I've just got one last one. We weren't going to do the walk-ons, but I think this one's important. I think this one's important going forward for the podcast and for the listeners of our podcast. You and me, just kind of the culture of what we've created here on Jayhawk Talk, and that is Evan Maxwell, I think my new favorite KU basketball player. He's a transfer from Liberty University, and most importantly, since he transferred from Liberty University, he has suddenly gotten a bunch of tattoos on his arms, or at least one arm. And so I'm interested in this transition. So Liberty University, if you're unfamiliar, is actually where Turner Gill coaches football now. Yeah, Turner Gill coaches football there. And it's a very religious university. It's actually was founded by Jerry Falwell. So it's Jerry Falwell's university. He goes to Liberty University, transfers to KU, and then starts to get tattoos. He's a big, goofy white guy. So I'm interested in this progression. I hope Evan Maxwell is breaking bad. I hope he's like downward spiral of him turning into...
He and Mitch Lightfoot and is crazy.
Right. I hope he turns into like Chris Anderson with all the tattoos everywhere.
Sure,
Birdman. I hope he just gets crazier and crazier. I don't want him to do anything bad, but I just want him to slowly progress into mostly tattoos.
Got it.
So I envision the future, if this progresses, Evan, that we will have detailed discussions about your tattoos.
I agree. That is coming on the podcast. In fact, maybe we ought to try to figure out if we could maybe talk to him and see if he can just give us a little story about each one. We'll just do a new segment every podcast.
The problem we're going to run into is he's a transfer. And not going to play this year.
Right.
So he's going to have his warm up on every game.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we won't know.
On the bench, in the warm ups, we're not going to know. So hopefully. Well,
send us pictures if you happen to see his tattoos on campus, or if he just happens to yank the warm ups off in warm ups or whatever. So hit us up with that. Andrew, should we move on to like some over unders?
I like over-unders are one of my favorite things to talk about because it really puts you in a position. Usually you don't go back and check, but we're going to go back and check.
Sure.
The end of the year, we're going to go back and check. I'm going to start you off.
Okay.
This is one that you set, and maybe you had a little bit of humor involved, but I don't think much based on projections, and that is over-under 80. That's right. I said 80 dunks for Udoka Azubuike this season. That's a lot.
That's a lot of dunks.
That's a lot of dunks.
It's basically like 2.5 dunks a game. 2.7 dunks per game. I'm sure that math is right.
He had 6 against Emporia State.
Right. Felt like 10.
6. So if you did 6 times, let's play 40 games. That's a lot. That's going to do that math. 6 times 40. 240.
No, that's wrong. 6 times 40. Do the math.
240.
Okay, I was right. Good.
Yeah, Matt, dude, Matt.
I'm an attorney, man. I don't do numbers.
Well,
I'm taking the over.
I do numbers. You're taking the over on.
I'm taking the
dunks.
Over.
Are you serious?
I'm seriously taking the over.
Okay, I'll take the under, but I'm rooting against myself.
I think Carlton Bragg said something like, "I've never played with someone who so enjoys dunking."
We've missed that, you know. I know. Perry dunked a little bit, but he didn't look like he enjoyed it. Like it was something that he had to do.
That's true. Remember you know, the Morris twins? Like, they never dunked the ball their freshman year, and everyone was like, dunk the freaking ball.
Right.
And then they learned how to do it.
I think Azubuike is going to dunk when he's not supposed to dunk, and it's going to be glorious.
So here is a correlated over-under. Over-under 30 non-dunk made baskets for Udoka. So that means he's made something other than a dunk 30 times over or under.
So we're talking jump shot. Are we talking free throw?
No free throw. Free throws don't count. Field goals.
Field goal. Okay. I'm good. That's close. I'll take the over just based on numbers, but I don't feel good about it. He's going to have so many opportunities.
Yeah, he'll have some little layup things. We'll call it the over too, but I think answer me this. Will he have more dunks than made field goals that are not dunks?
Yes.
I agree.
Maybe 2-1.
We should definitely count that number throughout the year. Forget the Perry dunks. I want to know Udoka non-dunk field goal basket. We're going to have to come up with a better hashtag. Udoka made a jump shot.
We should have our own box score and our own statistical categories.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk to Statboy. We'll put something together.
Perfect.
All right, let's move on from Udoka and talk about our other favorite player, and that's Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk. Svi's going to come off the bench this year. He's a year older. You're stronger, even though he's still, I think, younger than Josh Jackson.
Yeah, I think he is.
But I'm going to set the line at Sviatoslav 9 points a game, over or under.
That's a good line. I'm going to go barely under. I think it's around 8.
Okay. So that's similar to, you know, coming off the bench. You know, Brandon Green for a while averaged about 9 points. I don't know what Sfi ended up with last year. I think it was less than 9. But you think that his role continues to be just a sharpshooter off the bench?
You know, in the exhibition games, he might have been the second best player behind Frank. I mean, Josh Jackson was pretty good in spurts, but I thought Svi's overall game was really good. I just wonder where he's going to find the minutes unless we're playing that small ball stuff. But yeah, I think he can get to, you know, 8, 9, 10 points a game. I think he'll be right there. I think it's a good line.
Okay. Svi, I'm going to take the over as well. I'm going to take the over. You take the under. Okay. I'll take the over.
Fair enough. All right, here's one for you. Over, under, LeGerald Vick, 12 minutes a game.
See, it's just hard to know where these minutes are going to come from. 12 doesn't seem like a lot, but when you start to divvy it up, you know, Frank's going to play 30.
Right.
And then with Devontae, he's probably going to play 28, 29.
Yep.
Josh Jackson isn't giving up any minutes. Jackson is going to get Andrew Wiggins type of minutes. So if you start doing the math, unless we're playing, you know, four guards all the time with Sviatoslav in there, those minutes aren't going to come. So I think Vic is under 12
minutes. I do too. And that's, you know, it's too bad. I think he will get an opportunity though next year because we're going to have some people leaving. I just hope he sticks around because he sounds like he's really made some big jumps. All right, what about over under Josh Jackson, 15.1 points per game?
So Andrew Wiggins was 17.1 points per game. So this is exactly 2 points less than Andrew Wiggins. Josh Jackson get a lot of Andrew Wiggins comparisons in terms of scoring, in terms of being a number one recruit, in terms of kind of being the big point getter on the team. But I don't know if he's going to do that. Wiggins had some big games, so I'm going to take the under. And I think that there'll be a lot of people, you know, Frank, Devontae, maybe even Carlton, who all hover around the 14, 13, 14 point per game. And it'll kind of be a different guy each time. So I'm going to take the under on that.
I'm taking the over. Josh Jackson is going to average over 15.1 points per game this year, Andrew. He's too smooth, man. I think it'll be like just over that, a lot over that, but I think he's going to be very close to leading the team in points. I really think he'll develop his jump shot throughout the year, occasionally hit a few threes, but he's going to get to the basket. I think we're going to be doing some things to try to get him there, and he can really create too, man. I'm excited for him. Over under Landon Lucas, 6.8 rebounds per game.
Your favorite player, Landon Lucas.
He's not my favorite player.
He's your favorite player. Last year he averaged 6.8 rebounds a game. That is his stat from last year exactly. So we're trying to determine if he's going to go up or down. I think he's going to go up. I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity for him, especially because I think that Perry was a better rebounder than Carlton's going to be. So he's going to have to get a few more. And I think Landon is going to be relied on a little bit more. You know, no Jamari, no Perry Ellis. Landon's going to play more minutes. And really, Landon's out there to get rebounds. That's why he's on the team. That's why he's a starter. That's why he's get starter's minutes. I go over. I'll probably end up 7.8 to 8 flat. That's what I'm guessing.
Wow, 8's a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, I know. But if you take his Big 12, he was probably getting around that in Big 12 play last year. Maybe a little higher.
I think he might go just over. Yeah, I think he's about 7 boards a game. I think he's going to play enough. And that's obviously going to be his number one priority, like bar none. The only thing you are on the court to do is play defense and rebound. So, yeah, I think he'll be right there. Here's one for you. Over under number of weeks, KU spins as the number one team in the nation in the rankings. Let's just go with the AP rankings.
Well, if we do it early, if we beat Indiana and then we beat Duke, there's a good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a good shot that we jump up. And so I'll take the over, guessing that we beat Duke and guessing that we beat Indiana and jump up to number one. We'd have to jump over Kentucky. But I think with those two wins, that's definitely.
So the over-under is 3.5. What's your guess? Are you thinking like it's 4, 5, 6, the all season? What are you thinking here?
I guess we hold on to it for a little bit early on in the season, 3, 4, 5 weeks, maybe take a hit or two in Big 12 and then regain it sometime. So maybe like 5.
See, I think it's going to go the other way. I think we might lose to Duke, end up somewhere around 4 or 5, and then let all these other teams and their conferences beat up each other, and we just take care of the Big 12 and keep rising up and eventually stay number one in the Big 12. I think you're right. I think we could probably get the over there, but I think it might go that direction. But we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, the easier route is yours.
All right, now let's talk about the super senior on the team. The one and only Tyler Self. Kevin, did you know that this is Tyler Self's last year on the basketball team?
Aw.
I know, right?
I'm sad.
It seems like he's been there forever. So in honor of Tyler Self, you know, he hasn't scored a whole lot. I think he scored maybe a total of 4 points in his entire career. Does that sound right?
No, he's got more than that, doesn't he?
If he does, it's not much more.
I'm not defending it like strongly, but
anyway, whatever.
I'd say over. I think it's over 4 points.
Okay. Well, anyway, for this season, over under 3.5.
Over. He's gonna double his output this season. I think we're gonna be. I think we're gonna be winning handily in a lot of games. I think there's obviously gonna be tests. I mean, there's gonna be a lot of tests on the road in the Big 12 and whatnot. But I see some minutes ahead of Tyler Self this year. I think he's gonna score. I think his teammates are gonna be trying to push him to score too. They're gonna be looking for him to give him buckets.
That'd be great. It's his year. It's his year.
All right, here's one
Super
for you.
Super senior. Okay, go ahead.
And back to our friend Udoka, who, by the way, I think Bill Self calls him Doke, which I really like.
Oh, I love it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I meant to tell you that earlier. I didn't think you know that. So over under 5 games for Doke where he fouls out.
I think under, but I think he fouls out the first 4 and then he figures it out. So I think it's 4 in a row and then he kind of like dials it back a little bit.
I'm taking the over. He's definitely fouling out like the majority of his games. But that's okay. That's okay. Udoka, you just do your thing, Doke. All right, here's another one. Here's to get interesting. Over under, KU wins the league by 2.5 games over under.
Here's the arrogant KU fan coming out.
Hey, it's a legitimate line. This line is legitimate.
I think over.
I
think the teams between 2 and 6 are all going to beat up on each other and be pretty close together, you know, somewhere around 10 and 8, 11 and 7. I think KU runs away with it, you know, well ahead of those teams. And I think that the difference between 2 and 6 is going to be a game or two. But the difference between 1 and 2 is going to be more than 2.5.
I haven't seen the projections, but I bet they look something like KU 15 and 3. And then, like, the next best is, like, I don't know, 11 and 7 or something. You know, like, I don't think it's going to be a very close. But you're right. I think there's going to be 4 teams that are right there, 4 or 5 teams. So we'll see. I think you're right. I think I might take the over too if forced at gunpoint. But I think that's a good line.
Okay, with that in mind, over under 1.5 as the seed for KU in the NCAA tournament. So are we going to be a 1 or are we going to be something else?
Wow. I think Vegas, you know, if you were like a betting man and it was 50-50, like the field or a 1 seed, I think you'd probably want to take the field. But, I mean, I think KU is going to go undefeated at home. And if they go undefeated at home and they get a couple signature wins along the way, either the Duke game, which is a great one, or the Kentucky game, which is a great opportunity. I mean, Indiana's a decent win too, but if they could get one of those other twos, they're going to be a 1 seed. I mean, that's just reality. So I think I might take the under. I think I might say the 1 seed.
I do too. I like it. Kansas City, Sweet 16, Elite 8, got to be gunning for it. Yeah. Just down the way to the Sprint Center. Although we don't do great at the Sprint Center.
You turn that around.
Have that location clinched up. Okay, this is our last over-under, but maybe the most important one. And this concerns, of course, the alley-oop dunk. Our favorite thing to happen in a basketball game. Over-under 2.5 alley-oops averaged per game.
I like the over.
Oh, I wish I could take the over.
I like the over.
I love the optimism.
As an average, there's going to be a few games where we have like 5. And so that, you know, averages out the one where you have 0 against Kentucky or whoever else.
Well, I mean, they've got to show me. I mean, in these exhibition games, we saw some alley-oops. And we know they have the potential for it. But I need to see it.
Over.
So you got to show me.
Over.
I hope you're right.
All right, Andrew, let's move away from over-unders. You got most of them wrong, I think. I think I got most of them right. But here's another opportunity for you to be right and me wrong, Andrew. These are tough questions about the KU basketball team. The idea is I ask you a really tough question I know the answer to, and you have to answer it so the folks at home can play along as well. For instance, here's an example of a tough question. Andrew, will Frank Mason be at least a second team All-American this year?
No.
See, you're wrong. He's going to be a second team All-American this year. You're already 0-1. 0-1.
Oh, man. I'm not good at this game.
Josh Jackson's going to be a first team All-American.
That's what my thought is. Josh Jackson will be a first team, and then they'll be like, we don't want to put 2 Kansas guys on there.
I actually don't know if he'll be a first team All-American. I saw he's on a few lists, though. Jackson is, which, man, that's high too early. Expectations.
Like, who knows? You know, who knows?
I know. Okay, you can ask me one.
Okay, who will be KU's top scorer at the end of the season?
This is actually kind of tough. I think it's down to Josh Jackson or Frank Mason. Those are the two that I keep coming back to. Do you agree? Or do you get someone else in mind?
I mean, I would give Carlton Bragg as a long shot, or at least should be in the conversation.
And it's not crazy to think Graham too. Like, he's going to score. But I'm going to go with Frank. And I just think that he's going to get to the rack a lot, rack up those free throws. His jump shot looks great. I'm going to go with Frank, but
wrong.
It's wrong.
Okay, wrong.
Who is it?
Josh Jackson will lead the team in scoring.
We're not going
to
have any.
A lot of the offense will be about setting up Josh Jackson, but Frank Mason setting up Josh Jackson to score. I think Frank's game will now Frank may be the MVP of the team, but He's going to get a lot of rebounds, get a lot of assists. I think he's going to set a lot up. He's going to get his points, too. Frank can score the ball.
Okay.
But all I think Josh Jackson will lead the team in scoring.
Okay.
No, I'm wrong. Josh Jackson will lead the team in scoring. You're wrong.
I was wrong. All right, here's another one. Who will lead KU in three-point field goals made?
Brandon Green.
Oh, I don't think so.
That's a great question. Devonte Graham.
You're right.
You are right.
You are right. Yes. Devonte Graham is going to lead KU in three-point field goals made this year. I'm throwing it out there. I think that is the – or no, he will lead the team. I don't think it. I know it. And you got it right. Congratulations.
Okay, my question. Who will be the second-best rebounder on the team? So most rebounds – well, second most rebounds per game on the team.
We're assuming Landon's going to be the first, right? I think it's pretty clear it will be Josh Jackson.
Interesting. Okay, you're wrong. It'll be Frank Mason.
It could be.
It could be. You know, I know. I think you're right. I mean, Josh Jackson, for all this talk that people say about, you know, his offensive game, and you know, he's a pretty aggressive defender as well. He's 6'9", and he's going to be able to get rebounds. He's just going to be able to out-athlete people. So I think you're right. Josh Jackson will be the second best.
No, you don't think I'm. I am right.
He will. He will. He will be the second best.
All right, 2 for 2. That's good. All right, here's another one. Who will have more points per game? I think this is your question. Frank or Graham? I think we already answered that. At least I did. But I'll ask you. Who has more points per game, Frank Mason or Devonte Graham?
Frank Mason.
Okay, yeah, I think we agreed on that. Okay, here's the last one, Andrew, and we'll do this one together. Rank the top five in scoring. You already said that you think Josh Jackson's first. I said Frank is first. So let's just say those are 1, 2. So let's rank 3, 4, 5.
I'll go Bragg. And then Devontae.
You're wrong already.
And then Sviatoslav.
I do agree with Svi as 5. I really like that as 5. No, I think it's the other way around. I think Graham's ahead of Bragg, but I'll take it otherwise. Okay, so there you go, Andrew. You did pretty good on tough questions. Actually,
those were tough.
Those were tough. Hopefully the folks at home got some right.
Okay, Kevin, we've got two big games coming up over the next week. We've got Indiana coming up on Friday, and we're playing in Honolulu. And then we've got Duke for the Champions Classic next Tuesday. I took Duke, you took Indiana. So let us know what's going on with Indiana. Are they good this year?
They are. I think they will be.
I mean, Tom Crean's still the coach, so he's kind of been up and down. Indiana's been up and down. What's going on with Indiana?
They won the Big Ten last year. You know, I think it'll be interesting just before we go too far. You know, they're going all the way to freaking Honolulu. And then they fly all the way to freaking New York in about, 3-day span to play two really good basketball teams. So I know they'll have pretty nice accommodations on those planes, but still, that's a lot of travel for two really big, important games. But, Andrew, we're playing out their 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, which is why we are in Honolulu. I don't know if you saw these uniforms they're wearing. There's going to be, red, white, and blue different uniforms, and KU is wearing blue and they say honor on them, and then Indiana is wearing red ones that say courage on them. They're actually kind of cool. So honor versus courage will be playing on Friday there. So obviously Indiana, they lost their team leader and Yogi Ferrell, point guard, you know, kind of just an amazing player, All-American. Really ran that team. You know, they're coming off a 27-8 campaign, Sweet 16. They knocked Kentucky out of the tournament. KenPom, number 16 team. I think in the rankings, they're actually closer to 11. So KenPom's down them down at 16, but still pretty high. They return, Andrew, a preseason All-American and Big Ten Player of the Year candidate in center Thomas Bryant, 6'10", 255. Could have gone pro last year, but came back. Decided to try to improve a little bit, and he will certainly be a load to guard. They got a transfer guard in Josh Newkirk from Pittsburgh. Set out last year. he's probably going to be the kind of most of the time at point guard, although they've kind of done a little bit of a hodgepodge at point guard over the last couple of their, at least their little exhibition games. But I think it'll be Josh Newkirk, speedy guy, might be a good matchup for Frank Mason. They've also got James Blackman Jr. You'll remember that name. He suffered a knee injury last year, but he was averaging like 16 points per game before that. Great three-point shooter. And then, Andrew, my favorite name, other than Azubuike in basketball, OG Anunoby. Dang, I can never say his name. Anunoby? No, Anunoby. 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 Oh, yeah, Anunoby. Right. I just have to say it over and over again. I'll remember. Anunoby. Anunoby. OG Anunoby. Is a great name. And he's a 6'8 forward, projected to be a first round pick. Awesome, awesome player. He's going to be a problem. He's got like a 7'6 wingspan, can make threes like 45% last year, ridiculous athleticism. He is going to be probably, you know, the guy that most people, you know, most people talk about Thomas Bryant, but Anunoby is going to be the one that might be the better pro. He went 10 for 11 in the exhibition game that they just played, 25 points in 26 minutes. He can do a little bit of everything. So watch for OG Anunoby. I think that will be a great matchup with Josh Jackson. Two future pros certainly will be fun to watch. Some other little matchups that we talked about, Newkirk versus Mason, Anunoby and Josh Jackson. We'll see Thomas Bryant and Landon Lucas, which will be interesting. So Lucas will definitely have to body up. You know, foul trouble could be a key. These guys can really take it to the rack. They got good three-point shooters, great spacing. But, you know, KU has an advantage probably in the backcourt, where IU has the advantage in the front court. Not usually a Bill Self coach thing. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, three-point shooting will make a difference if they're making a lot of them. But it'll be a good game. I think KU probably has the edge in terms of just overall talent. But this is no slouch, man. They are good. And I think they could literally compete in a really loaded Big Ten this year.
Let's go Team Honor. Courage. Team Courage. Team Courage, you're going down.
You're going down, Team Courage.
Going down, Team Courage. Team Honor has got you.
I think KU wins this game. I think the difference will be Frank Mason. I really do. I think he will control the game from the outset. You know, I think Josh Jackson will get his. The key will be staying out of foul trouble and, you know, not letting them go crazy in the post. And Landon's going to have to play well. I think that's really what it comes down to. So, I think KU wins. I think it'll be in the 70s. Indiana likes to get up and down. So we'll see. That is my prediction.
I like it. Well, we don't get a lot of Friday games, so yeah. This will be a different.
I think I'm going to watch it at Turn 2 Lounge with our buddy Brian Haney.
Oh, Turn 2. All right.
Yeah, so he got the raw deal here. They sent Klingler out to do the play-by-play in Honolulu. And Brian is staying in Kansas, I presume, because they wanted him to call the football game too.
That's important. That's bigly important.
I was thinking about this. I didn't say anything to Brian, but I was like, okay, so what does that mean about you? Like, they didn't send you out to the cool game. They made you stick around. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, well, wait a minute. There's probably not that many people that can call a KU football game that know like names.
There's only two. There's Brian Haney and Bob Davis.
You
bring back Max. There are three people who could call a KU football game. A lot of people could call a basketball game.
And there's 35 people that could call a KU basketball game, but Brian's it. So anyway, I was kind of laughing at that. It makes sense when you think about it. So anyway, he will. I think he's going to be at Turn 2 Lounge. They're doing a little thing out there. He said, come out and have a beer. So if you're around, Andrew, we ought to go to the Turn 2 Lounge.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's talk about the next Tuesday Champions Classic in New York City, where the Jayhawks will go up against the number one team in the country. That's in the Associated Press poll. Also in Ken Pomeroy, his own rankings. They are also number one. You know, a lot of hype going into this Duke team, got a very highly touted recruiting class, but a lot of this hype, a lot of this ranking, a lot of this preseason buzz is based on these freshmen coming in, as well as Grayson Allen returning. However, I don't think we're going to get Duke's best shot, because it seems like everyone, especially their three big freshmen, are hurt. Harry Giles will not play against KU. He had an arthroscopic procedure done on his knee, and I think they're going to reevaluate him in here in a couple weeks. So he will not play against KU. There is some question about whether he will play at all this season.
Yeah.
He may just sit the season out and get ready for the NBA draft once he's ready to go. So I don't know what's going to happen with Harry Giles, but he will not play against KU. But there are other two guys. Jason Tatum sprained his foot. They're hoping he's available for the season opener, but that's up in the air. Keep an eye out to see if he plays this weekend. They've got games on Friday and Saturday. Friday against Marist and Saturday against Grand Canyon at home, back-to-back, which is interesting. So we'll be the third game of the season for them. It'll be the second game for us. So Jason Tatum, keep an eye on him if he plays on Tuesday. Also, Marcus Bolden has what they're calling a lower leg injury. Don't know if that's foot, don't know if that's ankle, don't know if that's calf. But anyway, he's not going to play this weekend. He's not going to play against Marist or Grand Canyon Friday or Saturday. So they'll reevaluate him. And that evaluation will be to see if he can play against KU. So those three guys, there's a potential that they don't even play. But they still have Grayson Allen. They still have Emile Jefferson. They still have Chase Jeter. They still got a great team that KU's going to have to compete with no matter what. You know, if we win this game, I think the narrative is going to be, well, you didn't get Duke's best shot. You probably have to beat him at full strength later on in the season. And that may be true. But, you know, KU's got to take advantage of these opportunities to play against good players like Grayson Allen, who many people have him as their player of the year pick. But what is most important and what is definitive, like there is no debate about it, is that he is the undisputed most hated player in college basketball this season. No one can take that title from him. You can make an argument about whether he should be preseason player of the year, or, you know, even the favorite to win the player of the year generally. You can make an argument. It could be Josh Jackson, Harry Giles, the guy from Washington. There's an argument. We can have a discussion. What there is no discussion about is that Grayson Allen is the most hated player in college basketball. He's got all the right elements.
Yeah.
Goofy, arrogant white guy from Duke.
Yeah, he was good, which is what's annoying.
He was good.
That's the key, is, you know, you can be all those things, because that really just, you know, that's pretty much all of them. But the good part, that's what really gets you. So I agree on that point. I did read somewhere today that Coach K said he thought everybody would be ready for the start of the season but Giles. So we'll see. I think you're right. Those other two will certainly not be at full strength from what it sounds like, though. So we will see there. Obviously a very good team, potential two or three even All-American candidates on their team. So they are loaded. And, you know, what do you think, Andrew, from a matchup standpoint? How do you think we match up with them? Do you think we got a chance? What do you think the keys are?
You know, if they're – well, I think the key's Frank Mason. Yeah. And just like you said against Indiana, I think that he's the guy at the point guard position that if he plays his game and he plays to, you know, 100% Frank Mason, it's going to be tough to beat us no matter what the other team is. You know, he's not going to be a big player in the NBA, but Frank Mason is going to be one of the best players in college basketball. And he might be the most valuable player in college basketball this year.
You might be right. You might be right. I'm excited for this game. Extremely excited for this game. I can't wait. The Indiana one is like, oh man, that's a great game. And then you just remember, oh, but the next game is freaking Duke. Like, it's going to be fun. I just hope I think we can get at least one of them. It sucked to go 0-2, but even if we do, you know, obviously very long season, you know, we're going to play our best basketball later in the year. So, I'm not putting a ton of like real stock in this game. It's more of a, where are we right now type of measuring stick. You agree?
Yeah. And it'll be fun. Yeah. I mean, these are fun games early on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just fun. I mean, these are big time games.
Resume builders.
Resume builders this early in the year. But in terms of, am I going to worry about it either way? No.
This is made for TV basketball, basically. I mean, just like, oh, by the way, college basketball is back. We're going to play all these amazing games just to make sure everyone's paying attention, which whatever. I love it. But, the college basketball junkies, like, they just, get some popcorn and sit down and watch them all. But it's good for the rest of the country to see it, too. So those two games will be coming up. We will be back before we talk about the next game. But, Andrew, as we promised, is it time for the 1 minute of KU football discussion?
All right, watch.
I'm getting there.
Stopwatch ready to go.
Hang on.
Because I don't want to talk about it for longer than a minute.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, and go. Okay, Andrew.
Super Bowl.
Did you watch, I guess you kind of had, you got cut off the second half last week.
But okay. This is going to take more than a minute to explain, but I was at the other place in Overland Park, Kansas, which is downtown old Overland Park.
Sure.
And KU got booted off all the TVs. They got booted off all of them. Like,
they probably deserved it.
It wasn't even on. You know what? I wasn't even that disappointed about it, but I didn't get to watch the second half because they booted it off.
They actually played better in the second half. And I think part of that was due to Carter Stanley coming in and taking care of business. Threw two touchdown passes, moved the offense, went downfield a little bit, did throw a bad pick, but whatever. I think he ought to start. I think he ought to play. I think they ought to give him a whole week and just like see what he can do, because literally, why not? Like at this point, why not give him a shot? So we'll see if he gets in there. My guess is that he won't. And that, but here's how this game's going to go. I got the game script all figured out. You ready?
I'm ready.
KU gets down in the first half. At halftime, Carter Stanley comes running out of the tunnel, ready to go.
Todd Reesing, circa 2005.
The Todd Reesing turnaround game. Here it comes. He comes out of the tunnel, ready to roll, charges us back to victory in our Super Bowl. And we will get our second win of the season. The only thing else I have to say about this, Andrew, is the KU defense, while the numbers don't look great on some things, is actually playing pretty well. And I am very excited, actually, about the future of the KU defense. We've got some nice pieces, like young pieces. And the offense does them and no favors ever. Like here's the ball on the 3-yard line. We're going to give it to them and then go ahead and try to stop them. But I think they're actually pretty good, and I don't know what the number is, but I know that at one point they were toward the top in football and turnovers, not turnover margin, because our offense gives the ball just as much as we get it. But, I think that there's some things to be positive about on the defensive side of the ball. And then, Andrew, I have one stat for you. This is longer than a minute. This is your fault. But
not my fault. This is your fault.
You had to tell some anecdotal story about the other place. But here's I'll leave you with this. Will KU get a win? I say yes, and here's why. KU is 5-1 straight up against Iowa State when playing at home over the last 6 games. That's
wow.
Data. That's stats coming at you. KU's going to win this game.
Okay, so the loss came in 2012. In 2012, we had this podcast, and I think we came on this very podcast, and we spent the entire time talking about this is our game. We were wearing black jerseys.
This is the one.
We came out in these black jerseys on this very, very cold November day. And we proceeded to get curb stomped.
You know what I probably said? I was probably like, hey, Andrew, in the last 4 games, KU is 4-0 straight up against Iowa State.
And they were.
And now KU is 5-1 over the last 6 games. Anyway, now you're right. We've been here before where we're like, well, at least we got Iowa State on the schedule. But, at least we got Iowa State on the schedule. Anyway, we'll see. Hopefully the Jayhawks can find a way to pull out a victory for the victory-starved fan base, of which there will be at least 19,000 people in the stands cheering hard, including Andrew, you and I and our crew. So we'll be there. We'll be there cheering on. We got to see at least one victory this year. One other than whatever that team was we played. One other than Rhode Island win this year. So anyway, all right, Andrew, that was 4 minutes on KU football. We completely screwed
way
up.
Way too much time.
What can you do? If they win, Andrew, we will devote at least 4 minutes to the next one. How about that?
I love it.
All right. I assume we're going to have some basketball to talk about, too, on the next one as well. Let's get out of here, Andrew. You can find us on the Twitter bug at Jayhawk Talk and at Sherlock Hoops. Lots of good basketball coming up this week. Cannot wait. Interact with us there. Go online. Find us on iTunes. Leave us a review, a little rating, and a comment. It really helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. We are going to try to do this every week now that basketball is here. We're going to do it, aren't we, Andrew? We say this all the time, but I think we actually mean it when basketball is here.
Well, we like talking basketball.
I think we mean it now. We mean it now. We're still looking for that sponsor, though, to really force us to do it. So, you know, you got some bar or some, like, shaving cream you want us to promote or whatever, like Dollar Shave Cream Club. We're your guys. Anyway, all right, let's get out of here, Andrew. Thanks you so much for listening. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Rock.
Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my